Happy to be here. Pleased to be at the Jefferies Healthcare Conference. With me is Ned Rand, our CFO, and Frank O'Neill, who is our Senior Vice President for Investor Relations. I'm curious, before I start, since this conference is not a financial services conference or geared around insurance, how many of you folks are actually in the insurance space, or most folks generally healthcare? Okay, great. So I'll talk a little bit about how our business works. We are the largest publicly traded specialist insurer in the medical professional liability space. In fact, there are three other players. We're larger than the other three combined. And what we do is we provide primarily physicians, but hospitals, clinics, other healthcare providers, dentists, podiatrists, the gamut of healthcare providers, with insurance against claims of professional liability, which is essentially that they deviated from the standard of care in providing services to a patient. We have 55,000 insured clients on a national basis, which brings us the risk diversification and scope that you want in an insurance player. We're A-rated by AM Best and the Fitch organization. Oops, excuse me, went the wrong way. We've grown our business through consolidation. This is still a relatively fragmented part of the insurance industry. There aren't any super large players. We're a large, middle-sized insurer. And we have grown our organization by consolidating smaller players over the years, and I'll show you a chart on that later. But we have, as we've consolidated the players, we've also kept the essential business model, which is being local and providing service to doctors as they practice on a local basis. Our stock price has been very steady over the last couple of years. Our company in particular, the P&C industry generally, with the exception of AIG, did not suffer greatly in the meltdown of 2008. We tend to be very conservative investors, investing primarily in municipals, high-grade corporates. Our business model was not disrupted by the meltdown. Our product is relatively inelastic. The insureds need our product. So we went through the financial crisis in a fairly stable state, and our stock price reflects that. At the same time, we were able to continue to grow book value. And book value for any company is important, but for an insurance company, it's especially important because book value is equity on the statutory side, it's statutory surplus. It's the capacity by which we can write insurance. As a rule of thumb in our sector, you need a dollar of capacity for each dollar you write of insurance. So by growing our book value, it allows us to have the opportunity to provide more insurance services down the road. To give you some idea of how our organization stacks up, this is a study that Moody's did using 2008 data. 2009 is not out yet. But of the 100 largest insurers, we were 95th on the list. So, you know, relatively at the lower end of that spectrum in terms of size. But in terms of performance, we were number one in operating ratio. An operating ratio is the combination of the combined ratio, which is the insurance fundamentals plus the investments. We were number two in combined ratio, and one is good here in this, on these measures, fifth on the loss ratio, and fifth on return on equity. So we perform, again, when you're looking at P&C insurers, at the top end of the spectrum. We've received many honors in the last year. For example, we were named again for the third year in a row to the Ward's 50 Best Property and Casualty Insurance Organizations. Ward's does a purely financial screen, five-year rolling average of property and casualty companies. They come up statistically with their 50 list. We've been on that list for the last 3 years. Last year, even in the financial turmoil, we were upgraded from A- to A by AM Best. We're also rated by Standard & Poor's, and I said have an A by Fitch. Again, as I mentioned earlier on, we've grown our business through mergers, acquisitions, and consolidations. And while that's a very tough piece, that's one of the areas that we consider ourselves to be specialists and successful specialists. We've taken what was primarily an industry of single-state companies and rolled them into a nationwide organization. Without going too much into the history, essentially medical malpractice, medical professional liability, really didn't exist much before the middle 70s. Doctors were rarely sued. In the middle 70s, the plaintiff's bar got very interested in this, started suing doctors. Doctors at that point in time were insured through really as a piece of their office package. They'd have a little add-on for professional liability. And the companies that were then in the business, the Chubbs, the Shelbys, the Aetnas, the big players that they had, the Argonauts, players that may not even exist now, said, you know, we're not really into being a specialist insurer for these guys. We just were going to do it if it didn't provide much of an exposure. And they all bailed out of the business. And so it caused a huge availability crisis, and generally the solution was in every state the medical society would somehow raise money and start an insurer. Well, those insurers were very good, and we started that way, but over time they weren't large enough to be sustainable financial institutions, at least in our opinion. So we started the consolidation process. We have two main routes, mutual assurance, medical assurance out of the state of Alabama, ProNational Insurance Company out of the state of Michigan. We combined in 2001, which was the largest merger in our sector, still is. And we have, and you can see without going into the details here, we have rolled up a number of other players to become a solid middle-sized insurance company, which is our goal. Because simply stated, in the insurance space, you have to be big enough to sustain the volatility of the business. In 2009, we continued our track record of successful M&As. We brought in PICA, which is a podiatry company, Mid-Continent, which is a managing general agency dealing with ancillary health care providers. We'll talk about that in a second. And actually, a company that does lawyers. We also have a book of lawyers business. We're not entirely medical professional, but that is our primary business. As we look at healthcare and we look down the road, physicians are going to be our sweet spot, our core. They're wonderful clients. We're very pleased to be in that business. That's our expertise. But as we're looking at the changes that are coming in healthcare, whether or not a bill is passed in Washington, we see the growth of ancillary health care providers as being very important. There will be physicians extenders as we need to provide for the baby boom, as we need to provide for more folks that may come in through through reforms in Washington. We see more and more ancillary providers coming on board. And that inspired our transactions last year to get the podiatry company in, which also does chiropractors and other ancillary providers, and Mid-Continent, which is focused on providing services to home health care nurses, other folks of that ilk that we did not traditionally do. And you say, well, isn't that all the same business? It is and it isn't. A physician business is very high touch, very risk management focused. We get a lot of money for each premium that provides us to do individual underwriting. When you get down to a nurse, for example, or a home health care provider, very lower margin business, you have to be able to process it differently. You can't provide as many services. So it really took a bit of a different organizational approach to do it. So now we have a platform that we can look with our capital base to expand as we go down the road. The numbers you see before you are not our numbers. They're Bureau of Labor Statistics projected growth in ancillary health care providers. And it just goes to show that we're looking at areas that will be growing down the road. While we expect mainline physicians to be growing, they're going to be growing at a much slower pace. In insurance, there's very few variables. You want to be a good underwriter and select risk carefully. You want to be able to manage the claims that come up from those risks, and you want to be able to price the business properly and invest the dollars while you're waiting. A big factor in our business, which Ned will touch on when he comes up, is investment income. We hold premiums that come to us for 3, 4, 5 years. So the investment component in our business is a very large component, as opposed, say, to a healthcare insurer where the dollars come in and they go out in the same year. We'll take dollars in and they go out a number of years later because of the claims process. You also, when you're looking at an insurance company, want to have broad diversification by some measure. That might be by type of insurance. Obviously, we're concentrated in the medical area, but we do diversify by risk. And the United States is very different. It is not one company when it comes to tort law. It is 50, count the District of Columbia, 51 different jurisdictions. Each has its own tort law. Each has its own court system. Each has its own nuances. And we are in 49 of the 50 states, and in the states in the dark green, we have sizable concentrations and have people on the ground where those yellow dots and squares are, with local offices, with a very experienced team of folks handling claims, doing underwriting, providing risk management on a very localized level. The dynamics of the business are really established externally. How many doctors get sued? Yes, you can be a selective underwriter, but you're still going to have clients who get a lawsuit. So the frequency by which claims come in and then the severity of those claims drive our business externally. The key is how we handle those. And we have a very, very experienced management team. We have the most experienced management team in our sector, I would suggest, and I believe that's true, not only at the senior level but at the middle level. At those, when you go back to the other chart, when you saw the yellow dots around, those are our local offices. And we have vice president level people out in the field who have been in that state doing their trade for 20-plus years. again, in this business, innovation is not as significant as experience. I know in the conference here you'll hear about other areas, drugs and all that, where I assume innovation is very, very critical. But the dynamics of insurance have remained largely the same. The key is the experience by which you handle those dynamics. And I posit to you, and certainly you're welcome to come and talk to us, we can explain it more, have a very experienced senior and very importantly middle management team. What's going on in Washington from our point of view? Well, the short answer is whatever happens is not apt to change our business, at least for a number of years. In the health care bills in both the House and the Senate, there was no significant good or bad on tort reform. There were some minor demonstration projects, really more as a political sop to the medical association. But the plaintiff's bar has such a sway on the Democratic Party that there really is no effort to affect the state-based tort system that our business is built around. One can argue that we need substantial tort reforms to help control medical costs, but it certainly didn't get through either the House or the Senate, and as we see it, it's unlikely to come out if a final bill is adopted. Also, there are no regulations in the bill that would impact us as a property and casualty insurer. There are many regulations dealing with the healthcare side of the business, but that really is a different product line and it's regulated differently. There are state changes going on. Again, every state is different. There are a number of state-based tort reforms. Some are being challenged. There are still a few out there being initiated. Really, when you look at a company like ours, you have to look at how they're positioned in the state and are they able to deal with life on a state-by-state level, because, again, it's a 50-jurisdiction enterprise. With that, I'll turn it over to Ned Rand, who will talk to you about our financial highlights.
Thanks, Vic, and good morning, everybody. I'm just going to spend a few minutes to go through the financial backdrop that our operations run on. And as Vic mentioned, the business that we're in is one where we take in money today and we pay that money out many years later. And we actually sell a product whose cost we do not know for 5, 6, or 7 years. And as a result of that, financial strength and financial stability are really key to long-term success in our industry. Point you to a couple of items on the slide that's on the screen. First, looking at gross written premium, that's the premium dollars that we've taken in. This is 9-month data going through the end of September. And you'll see that our premium volume is up considerably from 2008 to 2009. And that's in spite of an extremely competitive marketplace and really is on the back of the acquisitions of the podiatry company, Mid-Continent, and the lawyer company that Vic referenced. Investment income is a challenge in this environment. As Vic mentioned, and we'll look at in a minute, we invest on a pretty conservative basis. We take a lot of risk on the liability side of our balance sheet with the business we write, and as a result of that, we tend to take a very conservative approach to the balance sheet. We hold or have held a lot of short-term investments where we've seen investment returns down 200, 300 basis points year over year, and so that's led to a decline in investment income. Probably most importantly, however, is the bottom line, which is our operating income, up considerably over last year, $4.08 through 9 months. Turning to our balance sheet, that's really been the focus from a financial perspective for our organization over the last 18 months, is protecting and maintaining that balance sheet. Four metrics we have up on the screen. Assets, but probably more importantly, investments. Our investment portfolio is just under $4 billion at the present time. That's on compared to $2.9 billion in liabilities and $1.5 billion in equity. And that equity has been growing and has grown through the very difficult market that we've been through the last 18 months. And since the end of 2007, is up 16%. That didn't go the right way. There we go. Vic mentioned growing book value, and this is just another look at that. I want to point out a couple of things. One, we have been growing book value in spite of a very difficult investment market. We've also been growing book value in spite of the fact that we have had a share repurchase program in place. And over the last 2 years, 2.5 years, we've bought back over $200 million of our stock and retired debt during that same time period. And in spite of that, continue to grow book value. Vic mentioned the one-to-one kind of metric for writing a dollar premium for every dollar of capital you hold. On a pro forma basis, including the acquisition of PICO, we would expect to write about $570 million in premium, and we have $1.4 billion in capital. We have considerable capacity to take on new business, to take on new business opportunities. Vic mentioned that we're a company built on M&A transactions, and we have the capital and capacity to look out and be aggressive in the M&A environment. One thing that is important to distinguish from, however, is the difference between excess capacity and excess capital. Often those two get confused, and people look at our balance sheet and say you have $1.4 billion, $1.5 billion in equity. You need to be returning more of that to the shareholders, and we do through our share repurchase program. But removing a dollar of capital has a very different impact than adding a dollar of premium, and the green and blue lines on the slide show that. The green line is what happens to our ratings, kind of the rating models that the different rating agencies use. The decline in that rating model based on the addition of a dollar of premium for the green line versus taking a dollar of surplus away for the blue line. So two different measures and important to keep in mind. Mentioned earlier the investment portfolio. Again, a very conservative approach. If you like detail, the entire portfolio, all $4 billion, is posted on our website. We update that on a quarterly basis. But by and large, it's a fixed income portfolio. You add fixed income and cash together, it's 95% of the portfolio. A very small allocation to equity, and that's always been a small allocation to equity. It's not an allocation that shrunk during the last 18 months. We have a similarly conservative capital structure right now. We have about $50 million in debt, and so a debt-to-cap ratio of about 3%. As we talk about M&A, we have a lot of capacity to put debt on the balance sheet if the right opportunities were to come along. Vic mentioned during his comments investment income, and it's a key component to what we do. And the slide that's up right now just shows the impact on the combined ratio. It's a metric that Vic mentioned. And the combined ratio basically is how much do we pay out in losses and expenses relative to the premium we take in. And lower is better on the combined ratio. But because investment income is a key component of what we do, it's also a key consideration in how we price our business. If we're in a high interest rate environment, we can afford to pay more out in losses or more out in expenses than we can in a low interest rate environment. And so in the current low interest rate environment that we're in, the discipline of underwriting and the discipline of claims management to keep that loss ratio down in particular is critically important. This is a life cycle of a typical medical liability claim. And you can see it takes about 8 years from the incident to be reported to the insurance company through the litigation process. We take in a dollar of premium today. We're going to pay out that dollar of premium in the way of a loss 8 years from today. Looked at a different way, this is kind of the payout pattern to the ultimate payout for that liability. So investment income, again, is a key to the long-term growth of the organization, to the long-term profitability of the organization. One more slide on the portfolio, just looking a little closer at the fixed income portfolio because it is the most significant component of the portfolio. It's about $3.6 billion. We match the duration of our liabilities and the duration of our assets. So the portfolio's got a duration of about 4 years when you exclude cash, and that matches up very well with our liabilities.